meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Harris is on his way. We will make one change to the agenda. We will move item number 9, report from Sheriff Delane, up to 5A. We'll do that first after the announcements and public comment. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda as amended.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements? Guess what's coming up? Mr. Clark.
Yes, the Recreation Department is holding a drive-through trick-or-treat event at the Broadview Soccer Complex on Wednesday, October 28th. There will be 200 pre-filled bags that they will hand out as cars drive through, and hopefully all the kiddos will be dressed up in their costumes. So we're looking to see as many residents as we can to come to that event on Wednesday, October 28th, and that will start at 4:30 p.m. while supplies last.
Very cool. Have you gotten any reaction from residents caring about it? Or
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask Matt if he's seen anything on Facebook yet, but it was a great idea that he came up with and worked with his staff on, and I applaud him for quite a great idea.
And for a commercial break, we'll thank all of our sponsors who helped make this event possible.
Nice.
Okay. Next announcement. There will be no village board meeting on Tuesday, November 3rd due to our election. And any other announcements from my fellow board members? Any announcements from staff?
Yes, we will not have a second budget meeting that originally was scheduled for Thursday evening. It will be canceled, and we'll get that posted.
Thank you. And for those listening, that's because the first one went extremely well. Okay, moving on to agenda item number 4, public comment. Carrie, did anyone send any public comments to the clerk's office, to your knowledge?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay, Brad, are you aware of any?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And I'm assuming everyone can see the agenda up on the screen?
Yep.
Okay, good. Otherwise, you'd be seeing pictures of Colorado. Okay. We will move to the new agenda item 5A, the old number 9. Sheriff Todd Delane is joining us tonight at our request, and we thank him for being here. These are strange times right now, and questions come up about is crime up, is crime down, and Sheriff Delane and his team were kind enough to really do an analysis of crime in Alloway and what's going on in Alloway, and he offered to come and talk to us and kind of give us a state of the union on law enforcement in Alloway. So with that, we will welcome you, Sheriff Delane. Thank you for being here, and we'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you and the village administrator, Brad, for coming over to the sheriff's office and meeting with us to talk about, you know, what we've seen, you know, occur in 2020. And I think you summarized it the best in just saying it's a, you know, odd, crazy 2020 with the pandemic and all of the stuff that's occurred. So statistically speaking, it's really been a year where we may have not, we have not seen as many, maybe the same number of contacts with the public in certain areas, especially, let's say, in traffic enforcement, stuff like that. And there's certainly reasons for that. One is we went through, you know, several months of people really staying home with the Safer at Home order. And then even now, there's a high number of individuals that are still working from home on a regular basis. And that's cut down on a lot of our traffic moving through areas, especially an area like Alloway, in which you have thoroughfares that cut through and people traveling back and forth. So in that regard, we see our contacts related to that kind of stuff down. And certainly with everything going on and with COVID, you know, we want our officers to be smart in their contacts with the public. And, you know, we encourage them, obviously, to be proactive, but to make sure that, you know, when they're having the contact with the public, that it's definitely worth it, because it's another chance for exposure and another chance for a first responder to get ill, depending on, you know, what it is. So, you know, they've been a little bit more selective in their enforcement action. And additionally, there's certain things that we can enforce, and that includes right now under the current governor's order. So certain things like unregistered vehicles or invalid registration of vehicles. Right now, we're in another 60-day window where those who, for whatever reason, were unable to register their vehicle, that's not enforceable. The state statute's written like that, when, and it specifies when there's a state emergency order in place, those things can't be enforced. So, you know, we might remind somebody to try to get that stuff done. But again, is it even worth it to have the contact and run the risk of a first responder potentially having another exposure to COVID-19? So in regards to traffic enforcement, in context related to that, we're still proactive, but it's a lot more selective in looking for those more outrageous violations. And with that, with traffic being down, more people working from home, in 2020 we've seen countywide, and I'm sure it's statewide, you know, a pattern of less contacts as it relates to that. Alloway has been pretty much like every other municipality in the county, in the fact that it's not a normal year. Things are different. And, you know, throughout the county, we've seen quite a few cases in which we've had to respond to suicides. I think, you know, that, again, with people being home for long periods of time by themselves, maybe not having contact with people to be able to check on them. Throughout the county, we've seen issues with that. And then, you know, in the city of Green Bay, unfortunately, there have been a high number of shootings. I believe that their number is over 60 shootings in the city of Green Bay. Chief Smith and I have a very, very good relationship. I speak to him every week, several times a week, most often, a whole bunch of different topics. And they put together a task force to deal with the shootings in the city of Green Bay. We have been very fortunate in our primary patrol areas in the fact that it has not really spread into our areas, even though municipalities like Bellevue and Alloway and Howard that border the city of Green Bay, in which we patrol, have been, not involved in that kind of stuff. I'm confident that their task force is going to really address that issue and hold those responsible for those that are involved in those shootings. I don't believe it's a case where this is some random act. From everything that I know, I believe this is a case where those individuals have issues with one another, and it's probably, people that are associated with one another in groups, and they have issues with individuals in different groups. But they're working on that, and that's an active investigation. So I'm not going to really go into any detail, but as far as the residents of Alloway go, I do not believe that's an issue at all. With the previous meeting where we met with the village just recently, we talked about other crimes, and I think, generally speaking, there's nothing alarming about anything that's occurring that is causing us to have any serious issues. If things come up, we're able to quickly get on them and address the issues that come up. Over the last several months, I've been approached about the protests that occurred, and some people have asked about the protest in the city of Green Bay that turned into riot and criminal damage. In the other municipalities, first of all, there's one incident that occurred throughout the county in which we had that kind of activity. We went back and spent many, many hours investigating that and have referred charges on numerous people to the district attorney's office for damage, including the damage that was done to the Alloway squad car that night. We've had some protests that have been peaceful in nature, other than the fact that they've blocked traffic in several municipalities throughout Brown County. One that did spring up in Alloway, and this is obviously several months ago. We had a strategic plan about how to address that, allowing for people to express their concerns in a peaceful way. Obviously, we have issues when it blocks traffic and causes issues for other individuals, but what we did is we put resources on it and treated it in a manner where we protected those who were protesting and protected those who were in the area so that we didn't have any issues. That occurred once in Alloway, twice in Bellevue, and one time in Howard. Obviously, it occurred several times in the city of Green Bay, and it occurred in the village of Chauvenon, I believe, twice. And we came up with a plan to address the leaders of that group, saying, hey, listen, we want to support your ability to peacefully protest, to exercise your constitutional rights, but we want to do it in a way that is safe for everyone involved. So, in the Alloway case, it was a little bit more difficult because it just sprung up on short notice after a traffic stop was conducted. But the ones that occurred in Bellevue and Howard, we had information that they were going to occur. We approached the leader of the protest, expressed our concerns, and detailed some guidelines which talk about, proper way to protest and passed out some information that came from the ACLU related to that and what maybe the expectations would be of a peaceful protest. Chauvenon started by issuing a fine related to blocking traffic, and then subsequent to that, Howard had the same, and they issued a fine and forfeiture related to blocking traffic. And that was done after we notified him, you know, you can't block traffic. This is going to be problematic. We have a lot of resources. Please stay on the sidewalk. If you do that, we won't have any issues. If not, you know, the municipality may move forward with costs associated, you know, with protecting everyone involved. Howard did that after Schwabenon. I believe they issued them a fine and the requested costs associated with the protest, much like we would do for any other event. If you have the Bellin Run in Alloway or a marathon going through and there's resources that are used for law enforcement related to that, those organizations that put it on have to pay for those resources. That was the position that the Village of Howard wanted to move forward with, and so they billed them for those resources used. I believe that that'll, you know, that's probably in the courts now and probably litigated. After those incidents, there was another protest in Ashwaubenon, and the same group did stay on the sidewalk and followed the rules of associated with a peaceful protest. And were able to get their message out without being in a situation where it was a safety concern for those traveling on the roadway or for those protesting. So I know it was probably a topic of conversation for many individuals in the Village of Alloway as well as other municipalities around Brown County. However, I believe that our actions on it were very appropriate. We considered all of the issues involved. We were able to very peacefully resolve all of those situations without any injuries or incidents with any of the protesters or maybe counter-protesters or anyone else. And, we've moved on beyond that, and we still support anyone's right to peacefully protest or exercise their constitutional rights. So I think our strategy in regards to that has worked well, and it's served the community on both sides very, very well. And from everything I've seen and heard about it, I believe that once we've explained it to those who've had questions about it, they completely understand and are respectful of the way we've handled it. So that's really been, kind of a summary of 2020, COVID, and then, some protests, and then, recently, some of the news of some of the activity occurring in the city of Green Bay, which, fortunate for us, has not spilled over to the Village of Alloway or some of the other bordering municipalities. And that's really it. We're working some theft cases, burglary cases, to storage units and stuff like that, but I don't believe any of that's impacting Alloway right now. We're certainly seeing a high number of trailers, snowmobile trailers, just trailers in general, being taken throughout Brown County, and certainly I would encourage everyone to lock their stuff up if they have those trailers around, especially a snowmobile trailer. Make sure that it's properly secured so that it's not an easy opportunity for somebody to take. So that's kind of it, and I'm willing to answer any questions that any trustee would have at this time.
Does anyone have a question for the sheriff?
Hi, Sheriff Duane. I apologize for being late. Hopefully you didn't go over this. I was wondering about investigations or cases over the last couple of years. I know they're tied in with our budget, and we've been putting the budget together, and some of the things we've been already doing is looking ahead to 2022. Can you get us the hard numbers on where we're at with investigations and cases for the last couple of years?
I certainly can. I don't have them in front of me right now, unfortunately, but I will definitely get you statistics for the past 2 years are already, you know, done and over with, and how what the numbers look like for 2020.
Okay, perfect. I didn't expect you to have it off the top of your head. Is it realistic to have it by the end of the week?
I think so. I will check. If it isn't by the end of the week, the only reason I say that is because Captain Russo generally pulls most of this stuff with Captain Poteet, and I don't know exactly what they have going the rest of the week. I know that Captain Russo, who handles a lot of our record stuff, is in the middle of, for those who don't know, obviously the computer-aided dispatch system, CAD, which was in the news a lot about a year ago, is in its final stages of us transitioning to a new CAD system. At the same time, the sheriff's office, as well as several other municipalities, are changing to a new records management system. So all of that work is being done, and in the first week of November is when that transition's occurring. So they're in their like last 2 weeks of really putting everything together. So I will, you know, request that they get that together if they don't have it. I just don't know what they have on their schedule over the next day or two, but I certainly can have it either. If I don't have it by the end of this week, I can have it to you by next week.
That'd be perfect. Thank you very much.
One of the comments I made was that I read on, I was looking on the Nextdoor app, and people were saying how cars, they saw people kind of lurking around cars and maybe breaking into the cars, looking for change, doing that kind of stuff. And the first piece of advice is, of course, keep your doors locked, and those things won't happen. But they may still lurk, but the sheriff, other people were talking about cars that were just parked in an area where you know that car isn't normally there, and it just looks strange. And the sheriff told us, you know, if you see a car lurking around, it's not uncommon for groups of people, and Sheriff, you can explain better than I, but basically they have groups, they send them out through the neighborhoods to check things out, and then they all get back in the car and go elsewhere.
Yeah, we've seen that over, you know, several years, especially with younger folks that are looking for the steal anything quickly out of vehicles. So they would go into a neighborhood with maybe one vehicle and a few young people in the vehicle. They would, you know, get out and go through a neighborhood checking cars, anyone who has a car parked in their driveway, to check and see if it's unlocked, if there's any change, any, you know, once in a while people forget and leave a purse in a car or a computer in a car or any electronic in a vehicle that might have value. So, you know, they go through and, again, look for those easy targets. That was a little bit more prominent earlier in the year. We generally see that in April, May, June, and during the summer, but it starts in spring every year. And that's where we also see where people go in and maybe steal things from garages. So, you know, technically it's a burglary, entering into an attached garage and taking an item. And we often see that, as I explained, in the beginning of the year, because, you know, familiar, as you get through winter, you always remember to close your garage door and everything else. And then spring comes along and you're outside and you come in and you naturally think, I've closed my door, because you've done it so many times, and you forget your garage door open. And again, it becomes an easy target because somebody drives by and they see the golf club set sitting near the garage, you know, entrance or whatever item of value that might be sitting there, and it's easy for them to grab and walk away. So you know, now as we approach this type of weather, it's probably not as likely. In fact, with the weather we've had today and what's in the forecast around the state, I think most people will be closing their garage doors rather quickly to keep themselves warm. But so that's probably a down on the down slide. But one of the things that in the group we talked about was the fact that the sheriff's office will continue to be proactive in their actions. And I know we always look at any action that any officer takes, and we have very high standards. We expect our officers to maintain at all times. But at the, same time, I know with all the pressure of, you know, maybe certain groups of anti-police movement or whatever, we're still encouraging our officers to be active and proactive out there, meaning, as President Raptor had indicated, if they see a vehicle that's lurking around a neighborhood or parked behind businesses and should not be there, we expect that our officers are going to go out there and have contact with that individual or and find out, you know, why are you back here, especially for those officers that work, for example, in the village of Alloway on a regular basis. They know which vehicles are generally behind what businesses on a regular basis because for a significant period of time, they've been checking those areas at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning while everyone else is asleep or at odd hours, and they get familiar with areas and what vehicles park behind what area, and that they're looking for those things that stand out and to further investigate that. And we encourage them to continue to do that. And if you see something out of place, to have contact with those individuals and find out what is going on. Why are you behind this business? You know, can we help you? Do you need anything? And one of the things I mentioned is obviously when you're proactive, there's, you know, always the potential of some individuals not being happy with the contact they had with law enforcement, right? So if a law enforcement officer never has contact with anyone, is never proactive, well, it's probably not likely that somebody's going to file a complaint on them because they never had any contact with anyone to have a complaint filed against them. And for those individuals who, during the course of my career, 25 years, those individuals who at times are up to no good, one way to deflect some of that is to, you know, file complaints and potentially, you know, cause issue with, you know, why are you having contact with me, and try to divert it away from their actions. And certainly we look into all of those claims to ensure that our officers' actions are appropriate. But at the same time, we know that that we want them to be proactive, and proactive officers at times are going to have people that aren't happy with them because they interfered with their ability to do something either illegal or inappropriate, and at times take them into custody for that. So as that occurs, you know, I said, you know, keep in mind that we, you know, I want you to be confident to know that if an officer has a complaint filed against them, we certainly look into all of those, and we hold everyone to our high standards. But we're expecting them to still go out and do their job, and I'm hopeful that the village supports that and wants us to continue to go out and be proactive and, you know, seek out those who are going to be causing problems within the village. Because I think one of the issues that would arise if we didn't is it would allow for those who will take the time to take advantage of any opportunity like the unlocked vehicle or the open garage door. If we're not doing that, it allows for them to go out and you know, commit those crimes of opportunity in the village. So we're going to continue to do that, and certainly I hope that the village continues to support our law enforcement officers like they have for so many years. to continue to go out there and be proactive and do what's in the best interests of the community. So, again, thank you for all of the support that you have given the Brown County Sheriff's Office and the men and women who willingly go out and put their lives on the line for the citizens of our community and for all the residents in Alloway. We definitely appreciate the support of all of you and the citizens who have taken the time and just to wave and say thank you, because in this difficult time, to hear that, I know, really keeps the morale high. So for that, from me to all of you, I really do appreciate the support, and to pass along that our officers greatly appreciate everything that the village has done for them and the support that you've shown over the years.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you and everyone at the department for what you do to keep us safe. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the good sheriff?
Well, just a comment that tell Jason we miss him. He could attend our Zoom meetings if he'd like.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
I'll let him know.
Any other questions or comments?
Just GBCI, are they requiring more or less time? Because we've had some interesting issues with COVID in GBCI.
That's an interesting one. I will tell you that when we actually had this conversation with Brad and Jim the other day, and when we had the discussion about our activity at GBCI, we saw that their numbers had dropped, and I don't have a good explanation for that other than we can maybe guess that maybe they were reporting less than they were in the past, or maybe saving it up and calling it one time or whatever. But we saw a decrease in that short period of time compared to historically. And now what we've noticed is we're back to norm, what I would say is the normal number of calls. I don't know that it's the numbers have increased significantly over historical. I don't believe that to be the case. But we did see a little bit of a drop prior to resolving this issue with them making payment to the village. And again, I don't have a reason as to why, other than, it's one of two things. Either they had less issues, or less reporting. And based on historical information, it would seem to me that they probably just were reporting less. For whatever reason, things were not being reported. But now I think it's probably back to normal, and we're seeing the same number of cases occurring in the at GBCI.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any others? Hearing none, Sheriff Delane, we will thank you very much for joining us and wish you a good evening.
Great, thank you. Nice to meet all of you, see all of you again. Stay safe and healthy.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We will move on to number 5, action regarding awarding of facade improvement grant to Bartolozzi Holdings, LLC at 2143 South Webster Avenue. Trevor.
Yes, thank you. So, as you know, Ben and his company bought this property, the community center, and they're looking at investing quite a bit of funds into the property, and they are seeking some assistance through the facade improvement program. And the facade improvement program allows the assistance from the village for historic preservation related activities. So he's going to be investing well over the amount listed in the memo, which is $24,000. However, we broke that out into $9,000 for the historic-related contractual services for the project. This is just to get things started. Again, we'll be quite a bit more invested in the project, but this is just something that he was seeking to help make the project better and preserve the historic integrity of the structure.
Okay, so he'll be spending at least $18,000 on that, right?
Correct.
Outside of the $7,500 for the beginning?
Okay.
Is there a reason he's not asking for
$10,000? Well, I had suggested, with the estimate that he provided, I had suggested keeping the architectural and engineering services separate.
Okay.
And then just requesting the assistance for the historic-related activities.
Okay. And that is for the outside of the building?
That is for the entire of the building. The majority of it will be the outside, yes.
Because that's what we allocate these funds for, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Any questions for Trevor? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion on this item. Trustee Dart, you're muted.
I would move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. So Carrie, Rob Atwood made the motion and Penny seconded that. Action item number 6, preliminary CSM for AL-258 to AL-263. Trevor?
Yes, so this is same project, different topic, I guess, but essentially as part of the project, we're doing a CSM. There were 3 parcels on the community center property, as well as 3 parcels for the fire station. So we were able to do some savings by having both properties surveyed at one time. Bartolozzi is paying for the community center property. So essentially the only comments we have on this are the adding of a 20-foot water easement on the north side of the property, which would be your screen, right? And then there's some fiber cable that was run along the north side of the property a couple years ago, and that's been forwarded to the Brown County for comment as well.
Okay. And so there will be an alley in between those two properties?
Currently is an alley, yes. And that will be maintained through a maintenance agreement between the village and Bartolozzi Homes.
Okay, so I will accept the motion. So the type of motions we do look on these are mainly to accept, right, or approve?
You're correct. Accept and place on file. If there are any additional comments that the board wishes to be passed on to Brown County, I would do so.
Okay. So I would accept the motion, and any motion should probably include staff comments on the 20-foot water easement on the north side of the building. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I would make that motion to accept this and place on file with the recommendation from staff on the water easement and all other considerations previously discussed.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Harris, any discussion?
I have a question about the public alley. Is that much of a change, and does that get us into the business of paving and clearing snow on that?
I guess the width of the public alley is staying the same as it is today.
Which we had those responsibilities when it was the Alloway Community Center for clearing snow at that property. So even though we sold it, we sold up to the edge of the alley. This isn't a new survey map that creates an alley where none was before.
You're correct. This was an existing alley.
And the okay.
And we had discussed possibly vacating the alley, but the fire station does use it for one of their entrances. So for that reason, we're maintaining it.
Trustee Sampson, it's in essence just the parking lot between the fire station and the community center is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I understand, but I asked the question also because I think Sean was talking at one time that we want to get out of the alley business and yield back or sell some of these stubs. So that's why I had alleys on the brain, but that's a perfectly fine alley and appropriate, and my question is answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion to accept and place on file with comments in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, action regarding a request to keep pigeons by Mr. Omar Rosa. And who from the staff would like to kick this off?
I can go ahead and start, and I'll let Monica jump in, and I believe Omar is on the phone and can answer any questions that the board may have. A little over a week ago, I think it was, Omar reached out to me and asked about a follow-up discussion that he had been having with Mike Lauder about the pigeons that he's had for approximately 20 years, not the same pigeons, but pigeons that he's been having for about 20 years, and whether or not that it is something that the board was going to continue to allow. If I'm not mistaken, Omar, please correct me.
Yes, that's right.
So I reached out to Monica with her expertise as the animal control and asked Monica to do a little more research on this, and she did visit with Omar, and I will turn it over to Monica at this point.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can, thank you.
Okay, great. So the first thing I kind of did after looking at the materials from the the U.S. Department of Agriculture, I looked at our ordinances, and it talks about two sections that might apply, the first one being the keeping of farm animals, which after looking at the USDA information, pigeons really don't actually fall under farm animal status because they're not raised for meat or food. They're more like a sport animal, as Omar will tell you that, you know, he belongs to the American Racing Pigeon Union. So these animals aren't really bred for food or eggs or anything like that. So they're really not an agriculture animal. So then the next system, the next section I looked at was the keeping of an animal that would affect public health, public peace, public safety, or public decency could potentially be a nuisance. And so mainly, the only one of the, what mainly I looked at the public health one, the other three didn't seem to apply either, but public health I thought was the only area where there might be a concern with the keeping of pigeons, and that's why it requires myself myself as humane officer, our ordinance asks, you know, directs the humane officer to go and check out the facility and the animals. So that's what I did. And basically, Omar was very cooperative. He gave me full access to his yard and to his animals. The general rule of thumb, you know, for most for animals is, you know, water, food, shelter, and appropriate behavior by the animals. And he had a nice facility. All the animals had fresh water. There's food. In the case of birds, they have to have grit, places to perch, and his facility had all that. He also has heat lamps for them for body temperature for winter. I saw all his birds. They're beautiful animals. Very well kept, good feather, eyes clear. They look very healthy. He opened them up, and he can talk more about this, but with racing pigeons, you actually exercise them like you would race horses, and so I had the opportunity to watch them fly, and they come out, they fly as a group, and they come around, and so they all exhibited really, you know, healthy, happy, normal behavior for pigeons. So that was his, like I say, his facility looked really good, his animals looked really good. He's also a member, and we received a letter from the American Racing Pigeon Union. He's in good standing with that organization, which says a lot, which means he's doing things the right way. Otherwise, these organizations, they wouldn't write a letter for somebody that wasn't a good example of their sport. So that was another thing that I looked at. Let's see. So pretty much that's what I saw. His number is basically the number of birds they have they're managed. His males and females are separate, so it's not like they just keep breeding birds. He manages them the way a racehorse breeder would breed horses. They match up animals based on how good they are at flying, and then he only breeds those birds that he wants to breed together, and then each year he manages his herd, so to speak, or his flock, so it's not like there's an unlimited number of birds either, so... So I guess my recommendation is that, you know, I haven't received any complaints, quite frankly. I don't know if Mike actually got a complaint or you know, how this, you know, the original impetus for this. But certainly, like I said, Omar was very cooperative and very open and showed me all of his birds and his facility. And I would, my recommendation would be that he continue to, you know, that the village... you know, allow him to continue with his program, with his birds, and to carry on as he is. Does anybody have any questions for me?
So, to the best of your knowledge, by having his racing pigeons, he is not breaking any ordinance?
I don't believe so. The only place where there'd be an issue would be public health, and all of his birds are self-contained. Are contained in his housing, and his yard is fenced. Plus pigeons themselves, actually, some of the research I read that he provided from the professional organization is they actually, in terms of carrying different diseases, they're less likely to carry diseases any more than chickens or dogs or cats. As I said, the biggest issue with health and public health are the animals maintained in a good way, in a clean facility, and under, you know, managed under control, and his are. So.
Okay. And what's the address of the property where the pigeons are located?
736 Green Valley Avenue.
Okay. Okay, and do we know, was there a complaint that led Mike to meet with Omar, or
not? Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Mr. Omar, how are you tonight?
Oh, hi. Thanks for your time. Yeah, I'm here. I'm good.
Thanks for joining us. How long have you been racing pigeons?
All my life, since I was probably 6-7 years old.
Okay.
I've been doing it, but I live in Alloway for the last 20 some years.
Oh, okay, great. And so how did you come to meet with Mike? Did he just stop by one day?
I think they were flying around, and they probably stopped, and they were on top of my roof. So I think he just stopped and wonder, you know, what the pigeons were doing there.
Okay. Where do you race your pigeons?
What do you mean? They're in the backyard. I have a pigeon coop.
Right, but when you
when you race them? Are there public events where you race them? Or?
Oh, that's all over Wisconsin. Like I say, in Wisconsin alone, there's probably a good 20 clubs everywhere, all around Wisconsin. And, you know, we start by 100 miles, and it can go up to 500 miles.
Wow.
So they're being released somewhere in Minnesota.
Do you have any champion pigeons?
I've been trying. Well, believe me, it's a lot harder than it looks. It's really tough. And especially with all the members that we have around the area, I mean, they're old type. They're older people. They got a lot of experience, you know, and they got a little more money. They're retired people, and, you know, they really, really take care of their animals. So it's really tough to compete with those guys, but I've been trying for years, believe me.
Okay, well, I'd like Alloway to be the home of the champion racing pigeon.
We have a few first and seconds, but we're talking 500 miles, you know, so, and like I was talking to Mike and Monica, it all depends on the weather, you know. If you get a bad weather, a lot of those animals never make it home, or the hunters, and there's a lot of hunters out there, they start shooting like crazy. Or wild animals, you know, like hogs or any big animal like that, they just eat them.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing. How long does it take them to fly 500 miles?
500 miles, that's my babies from this year, they'll be ready for next year, go up to 500 miles.
Okay. Well, okie doke. Well, so I have a motion on this item. I don't know.
Omar, how many birds do you have?
Good question.
I believe when I was with Monica, I believe it was 89. And that was the max that, you know, that I ever gonna have. This year was a little bit different because the virus, the coronavirus, a lot of our races got canceled. That's why I kept my number high this year, like 89. But usually, for every 100 birds you release, you're probably gonna lose about 30 to 40%. That's combined with everybody around the area.
All right, you got me that. 30 seconds from calling an ambulance.
Go, Caitlin?
Whoops, sorry. Okay, you guys, I'm going to have to bail off for a minute, and I will be right back with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions for Omar and Chris?
Hope Lynn is okay. I was going to move approval of this request.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Dart.
All right. Division still like that?
Lynn, you're on. Yeah, I'll mute you.
Can you just tell me, Jim, please?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. So, any other discussion? Omar, when do we get a demonstration of pigeon racing?
Well, our racing is done for this year, but I'll put you guys down for next year. We start,
please do.
Maybe by early June.
Okay. We look forward to it.
You know, one quick question, not to put a burden on Omar here, but I believe with chickens we have an annual inspection that takes place and a nominal license fee. But would that be good to put in place for pigeons, just to make sure that they're maintained properly?
Yes. Can I answer that?
Go ahead.
Yes, it was actually part of our conversation with Mike. Mike was going to look into that, but since he had surgery, I don't think he's there right now. But, that was one of his ideas that, you know, if it was up to him, he was going to do like the chickens, you know, like a permit, and like you said, stop by. And, you know, I don't mind people stopping by whenever, you know, just to check on that. But, you know, I like to talk about pigeons, so I don't mind.
Okay, great. Well, this was very enlightening. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Omar, good luck with your pigeons.
Well, thank you. Thanks, everybody, and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
That was an education.
I don't know if Omar hung up yet. I think he did. So I'm not sure if Omar knows that I'm his neighbor. I live just 5 doors down from him. I see those pigeons flying all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I go along with Trustee Atwood's suggestion, just because if it ever is an issue or somebody asks a question, it would be nice to be able to say, oh yeah, no, the village goes in there periodically and expenses, then we license them, and maybe it's a $5 a year license, but probably not a bad idea.
$5 more than we charge cat owners.
We're working on that. I'm going to introduce a package of reforms in the cat and dog area, probably in 2021. But
no, I didn't want to get that.
So, Brad, would you work with Mike to bring
that
back?
Yes, I will. Between Mike, Monica, and I, we'll get something put together.
Sounds great.
Yeah, Omar's been great to work with.
Sounds like it. And Monica, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on to action item number 8, purchase of trackless utility vehicle. Mr. G.
This year's equipment replacement plan does include the purchase of a multi-purpose tractor to clear sidewalk, mainly to clear sidewalk. This tractor would replace an older machine that unfortunately hasn't performed well, at least up to our expectations. It's been in the shop more than it's been out in the field clearing log. To date, we spent approximately $25,000 repairing the holder. Staff went out in 19 and evaluated a number of different types of tractors to clear sidewalk. Looked at 5, the Toro Groundmaster, Kubota UTV, ASV, Skid Steer, Bobcat, Toolcat, Multihog. They had gone over to the city of Wausau and to neighboring communities to learn more about these different pieces of equipment to clear sidewalk. And staff had Bob and Jim had listed some drawbacks of the 5 that they had evaluated. In the end, they're recommending that we purchase a trackless tractor for a number of reasons. One, it's narrow. From wheel to wheel, it's just slightly over 4 feet. It's suited well for our narrow sidewalk on Webster and Alloway Avenue. It does have the power and blower intake is high enough to tackle the large snow piles that we have on Webster Avenue and Riverside Drive and other streets. We do currently have a trackless in our fleet, older one. To date, we haven't had any major issues. With the purchase of a second one, we've been able to easily interchange attachments, and we're proposing to purchase a number of attachments with this tractor that include a broom, a plow, and a snowblower. I would also mention, I'd like to mention that the parts are available locally. It isn't cheap. It's an expensive piece of equipment. The tractor itself costs $127,000. With attachments, it brings it to a total of $151,634. We do have that in the plan. We had budgeted for $150,000. We do plan on selling the holder that we have. I've been told that we should get somewhere between $7,500 and $10,000 for the tractor that we have now. We will be selling the attachments separately from the tractor. We will keep the plow. We plan on selling the blower that goes with that tractor separately. On a purchase of this magnitude, we would go out and get quotes, because we've already done our due diligence up front, we don't think it's worth the time to spend to put together the spec and to go and get quotes if we're not going to entertain other tractors. But if that's the direction provided, I'll most likely do that.
Are there multiple dealers for that type of trackless vehicle?
No. It is, you know, we found out with the purchase of the ODV unit, we had made a decision on what we wanted to purchase, and I'd say, what the heck, let's try to get quotes. I was told that it was territorial. I sent the quotes out to other dealerships outside of the Midwest, and we only got one quote. The others wouldn't provide a quote because it was territorial. So, are there any questions?
Sean, you had mentioned a possibility of getting a demo.
Yeah.
Is that still?
Yeah. We will be, with approval. We had approached the dealership that is in this territory about a demo. So we'd really like to save some money, if possible, and we're willing to purchase a demo if one's available. And he said we do have one available, and we're going to save roughly $6,500 to $7,000.
Good move.
Good. Other questions for Sean? I will then accept the motion on this item.
I would make the motion to approve the purchase of said trackless utility vehicle and attachments.
Thank you.
Second.
Trustee Atwood. Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the purchase of the trackless utility vehicle and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion passes. Thank you.
A lot of good staff work on that. Sean for sure, and then Bob and Jim from Street Department did a lot of homework, checked out a lot of products, and gave us a great estimate.
Yep. Good job, guys. Item number 10, future agenda items. Is there anything that a trustee would like to see on a future agenda item, such as a demo of racing pigeons?
June.
Just that as soon as Mike is well, that we get the nuisance property conversation back on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Brad?
Yes, I'd like to invite the fire department to give an update on what's happened or what's happening with the Green Bay Metro, and just wanting to get a better idea when that might be something you would want to entertain. With the November 3rd meeting canceled, we do have a board meeting mid-November plus the budget hearing, and then we would have two meetings in December. I would assume he's going to need a little time to gather any and all information pertinent to the village, but could certainly shoot for that December if that's something the board wishes to hear.
And the December meetings are what dates?
15th. Thank you.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I would think that either one of those dates.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else anyone would like to see on an agenda? Okay. Hearing none, I will accept a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, investing in public funds, or conducting other specified public business, whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, and Wisconsin Statute 1985-1C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility.
Make that motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Okay, thank you. We'll do roll call. Trustee Sampson?
Aye.
Trustee Genrich?
Aye.
Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Dart?
Aye.
Trustee Atwood?
Aye.
And President Rafter? Aye. Let me stop sharing.